jar of clay. All right. Well, good morning, Life Point Church. Thank you guys so much for being here with us this morning and connecting with us yet again here on Life Point Live. Man, we are so just blessed to be able to come together this way. Regardless of what's going on around us, we can still come together and do life. And man, I'm just so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that you're here with us this morning. I feel like I need to say this morning. If you are just really struggling right now with anything surrounding our quarantine and this kind of self-isolation, I mean, I know this can wreak havoc on our lives, especially those who struggle with anxiety and depression. And I've been thinking a lot about that this week. So I just want to say that if that's you and you're really struggling and you truly feel just totally disconnected and isolated, and that's triggering a lot of things within you, man, we are here for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're here. I'm here. I would love to talk with you. I can chat with you online, or if you want to call me, email me. We can do like a Zoom or Google Hangout kind of meeting or whatever. Just, I'm here for you, and I want you to know that you're not alone and that you don't have to do this by yourself, that we can still do life together. So I just wanted to remind you of that this morning, and don't hesitate to reach out if you need anything. But with that said, we're gonna continue on with our current message series. We're in week 3 of this series, When God's Not Fair. And before we get started, just again, go ahead and tell your friends we're live. If you haven't already, go ahead and start a watch party. Get as many people in here as we can. I really believe that God has some powerful things that he wants to speak to all of us, including me this morning. So, but again, this is week 3 in our series, When God's Not Fair. And in our world today, I mean, there are so many times that we either hear or we find ourselves saying the phrase, that's not fair, right? Especially when things don't go according to plan, when they're less than desirable, or when, you know, when that terrible thing happens that really makes no sense at all and really shouldn't happen. Sometimes we're left just with the words of, that's just not fair. Like, God, how could you let this happen? God, how could you do this? That's not fair. And in week 1 of this series, we really kind of laid the foundation. One of the things that we did was we defined what fair means in our world, in our definition. Our human definition of fair is basically following the exact standard of what's right and proper, no matter what. So that means that we follow the letter of the law, regardless, that there's no deviation from it, no gray areas, that there's no exceptions. It's either fair or not fair, which means fair, we follow the standards, what's right and what is proper. And through this series, based on that definition, we've kind of posed this question is, do we really want God to be fair? And if he were 100% fair, always proper, with following the rules, right? Never deviating from it. If God were fair, like we understand fair, what would be the ramifications of that? I can tell you right now, we wouldn't like it. We wouldn't like it one bit. You see, we're quick to call something not fair when it goes against us, or it hurts us, or it hurts someone that we love. But what about those times when God's not fair and it benefits us? Those times when God gives us what we don't deserve and then doesn't give us what we actually do deserve. Are those times fair? Is God being fair when he does that? No, he's not. But man, we should be so thankful for it. And this leads us to our main thought and main point of this entire series, and it's that God's love is not fair. God's love is not fair, and we should be so thankful for it. See, because the fact that God's love is unfair is at the very heart of the gospel message. Each week we've read these two verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and it says, but God is so rich in mercy And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. You see, we were totally undeserving of it. We didn't deserve it one bit. We didn't earn it. We could never earn it. It was a gift from God, and that gift is his unfair love. He was so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead, he chose to give us life. God's love is most definitely not fair. He gives us what we don't deserve and doesn't give us what we do deserve. And we should be so thankful for that. We should not despise God for not being fair, but we should praise him for it. And so today, we're going to continue on by looking at yet another account within Scripture where we see God's unfair love on display. Last week, if you joined us for our Easter service, we talked about the thief that was being crucified on the cross next to him and how Jesus showed him tons of love. Love that he didn't deserve. Unfair love when he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus poured out that love. And from that, we learned that because of God's unfair love, you're never too late. You're never too late to come into a relationship with Jesus. And if you missed that message, you can always go back. It's on our website and on our YouTube, or it's still here on Facebook. You can check it out, and I encourage you to do that. But today, we're going to continue on by talking about another incident where situation where we see God showing his unfair love. But in this situation and account, we're not going to look at a real person who actually lived and walked on this world, but rather we're going to be looking at a parable or a story that Jesus told to the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees when they were coming at him for hanging out with sinners. He was trying to help them understand what God's love is really all about. You see, in Luke 15, we find some of the tax collectors and the sinners, man, they continued to come to Jesus and listen to him. They were intrigued by his message and the love that he showed and the mercy that he showed and how he healed people. He was radical. So the sinners, those that were despised in society, like the tax collectors, man, they came to him and they wanted to hear what he had to say. And Jesus welcomed them and he loved them. And because of that, the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious elite of that day, man, they couldn't stand it. Because to them, those sinners, the ones that weren't living according to the law of Moses, they were detestable. They weren't even worth their time. So they wouldn't even associate with them. They wouldn't even be around them, let alone hang out with them. So they were always coming at Jesus for this. And then so Jesus, to help them understand God's love, he breaks it down to them in three different stories. He tells the story about a lost sheep in verses 3-7. He tells a story about a lost coin in verses 8-10. And then in verses 11 to the rest of the end of the chapter, he tells a story about some family drama, a lost son, and a father who shows unfair love. So let's go ahead and pick this story up. And we're going to start again in Luke 15, starting in verse 11. And we're going to read through quite a bit of scripture, but I know some know this story, but others don't. So if you have your Bible or a Bible app, go ahead and open that up. And we're going to be in Luke 15, starting in verse 11. It says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. He's like, Pops, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait. And for the youngest son, that would have been about one third of his father's estate. So the father agreed to divide his wealth between the sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. So he took his money and he jetted. And there he wasted all his money with wild living. After about the time that his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And because during this day and age in this culture, pigs were considered unclean based on the law of Moses. They didn't touch them. They didn't eat them. They didn't really want anything to do with them because they were unclean. So for him to go into the field and his job to be to feed the pigs, that was a very humiliating job. It was kind of the worst of the worst. Verse 16, the young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, check this out, he's talking to himself, at home, even the hired servants had food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. He's basically like, man, what am I doing? Man, my father's servants, man, they are fed. They have more than enough food. Yet I'm out here starving. Like, how did I get here? Verse 18. So he's, again, talking to himself. He said, I'll go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. All he wanted to do at this point was to go back home and be one of his father's servant. He knew that he no longer deserved to be called his father's son. So he ends up going home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, check this out, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, you know, he's ready to give his prepared speech. He says, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. He's reciting that script. Verse 22, but his father said to the servants, his dad basically interrupted him. His father says to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And so the party began. Man, it's such a beautiful, beautiful picture of God's unfair love. You see, instead of scolding his son for being selfish and greedy and taking all of his money and then blowing it, he didn't do that. He didn't scold him for that. Instead of giving his son what he deserved, which was not even to be a servant, basically, because he made his choice and he left, he didn't even give his son what he deserved. The father was not being fair. But instead, the father threw a sick party. Killed the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him. So not fair. He didn't deserve that, but his father loved him and poured out his unfair love. And I'm sure the younger son was so excited and so thankful and so humbled by how his father was treating him. Now, the older brother, if you read on, he wasn't feeling it. He basically stood outside and refused to go to this party. His dad came out like, what's going on? And he's like, man, dad, this isn't fair. That's basically what he says. Dad, this isn't fair. I've been with you all this time and I've served you and I've been a good son, but you've never thrown a party for me. You've never thrown a party for me and my friends. He's jealous because it's not fair to him. And his father again repeats, we have to celebrate. Because the son of mine was dead and now is brought back to life. He was lost and now he's found. It's a beautiful and honestly a realistic picture of how we perceive things being fair versus how God actually works. Because again, the youngest son, man, he screwed up big time. He was selfish. He was arrogant. He was ungrateful. He went out there and lived a crazy life, blew all that money, just ran through it. He was disrespectful to his father and to his brother. He didn't care if he hurt them. He was all about himself. And then when this all blew up in his face, right, and he hit rock bottom, he was honestly getting what he deserved, what his actions deserved. But when he came home to his father and just asked, "Dad, can I just be one of your servants?" What happened? I mean, his dad showed him unfair love by giving him the best of the best and having a party and celebrating his son. You see, we, you and I, we are the younger son. Because according to God's holy and perfect standard, we can never measure up. There's none of us, nothing that we could do could ever even come close to measuring up to God's standard. That's why Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And that's all of us. That's you and that's me. That's every single one of us. And I don't know where you personally stand right now in your relationship with Jesus. I don't know what your life situation may look like right now. Maybe you've made some pretty big mistakes. Maybe you've made some really, really bad decisions. And that's just kind of where you're at right now. And you're hitting what feels like rock bottom. Or maybe for you, you've said some things or you've done some things to the people that you love and you've hurt them and you're living with a lot of regret and hurt from that. Or maybe you've been selfish and ungrateful to your heavenly Father and you've neglected your relationship with Him or you've neglected God altogether. Or maybe it's something totally different. I don't know, but regardless of what's led you to it, because of your life choices and the mistakes that you've made, maybe right now you feel completely lost, defeated, and so far away from God. So far away from God that at this point you're like, I honestly don't even know what to do anymore. I wanna know more about Jesus or I wanna come back to Him, but I just don't know that I can and I don't know how. Trust me, I get it. I've 100% been there. I mean, there's been times in my life that I've, based off of my actions and the things that I've done, or because I've completely neglected God and had no relationship with Him for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks, that I've gotten to this point where I feel there's so much distance between me and God that I've created. And I feel so far away from Him that I honestly, I'm so ashamed that I don't even feel like I can go back to Him because I'm afraid of what He might say, or I'm afraid that He might reject me. I've been there. I've felt that distance from God to where I'm like, man, how did I get to this point? How did I end up here so far from God, and how do I get back? And if that is you this morning, if that's you feeling lost, ashamed, and so far away from God, I want to remind you this morning that God's love is not fair. His love doesn't, you know, operate within our mental capacities of what love is. It's far greater. And to us, it is very unfair. You see, as we've learned from Jesus' parable, His story of the prodigal son, that His love's not fair, just like the Father's son, or the Father's love is not fair for His son. God is the same way with us. And so based on that story, I want to remind you of this. If you feel so far away from God that you don't feel that you can come back, I want to speak this truth over your life this morning. And it's that you've not gone too far. You've not gone too far. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where your life currently is right now or how far away you are from God. God's love is unfair. And because of that, you have not gone too far. You can never run so far away from God that He's just going to wash His hands. You see, the beautiful thing about it is that God is always right there waiting for you to come to him. His arms are open wide, and he's just waiting for you to turn to him. Actually, if the moment you take one step towards him, he's going to be like the father of the prodigal son, and he's going to see you, and he's going to run to you. He's going to embrace you. He's going to kiss you. He's going to put a ring on your finger, a robe on you. He's going to throw a party. That's how much he loves you. Despite what you've done, despite how far away you are from him and what you may be feeling, he loves you so much that the moment you come to him, you're going to feel his warm, loving embrace. You're going to feel safe. You're going to feel peace because that's who he is. You've not gone too far. Again, I don't care what your life looks like right now. I mean, I do, but in regards to God loving you, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how far you are. Just know that he loves you. And he longs to be in relationship with you. He longs to be connected with you and to lead you and to guide you through life and to hold you up when things get rough and to celebrate with you when things are great. Regardless of where you're at right now, you've not gone too far. You know, I believe that sometimes we actually have to completely blow it and fall on our face before we realize what really matters. And if that's where you're at right now and you're struggling with that, you're in that pig pen, right? Eating the pig pots, you know, you're just struggling. Understand that your value is not based on this season of life. Your value is not based on your flaws or your failures. But in reality, your value is based on and rooted in God's love. Because his love is unfair. We don't deserve it. We've all screwed up. We've all done just some of the most ridiculous things ever. But God loves us anyways. You've not gone too far. I want to leave you with this final passage of scripture found in Romans 8, starting in verse 35. Paul writes this: "Who shall separate us from God's love? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Man, what a beautiful and comforting promise. Nothing will separate you from God's love. If you have a connected relationship with Jesus, there is absolutely nothing that will ever separate you from God's love. And that includes your own actions, your own stupidity. Nothing you can do can separate you from God's love. You see, God's love is unfair in that no matter what we say or do, we can't escape it. It's there. It will always be there. We just have to wake up and come to the realization, you know what? We messed up. We blew it. We're far from God. It is what it is. Now it's time to turn back to the Father and run to him. And he's going to run to you. And he's going to throw a party. He's going to celebrate. No condemnation, no judgment, no shaking his finger at you. Again, it's all his love because it's unfair. And because his love is unfair, it's not too late. And also, you've never gone too far. You've not gone too far. You could never go too far to escape God's love because it's unfair. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you again so much for your love. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that you pour out on our lives. God, we're so, so thankful for that. God, we're thankful for this opportunity and this time that we can come together online and worship you through reading your word, through exploring your truth. And God, and I pray that you would speak truth over each person that's listening to this right now, God. Speak to them. Help them to understand that they've not gone too far and that you're right there ready to receive them with your love and your mercy and your grace. God, it's so unfair, and we're so thankful for it. And because of that, may we live as your children to serve and honor you because of how good you are, because of the fact that you give us what we don't deserve and that you don't give us what we do. God, you're so good, and I'm so thankful. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Well, again, thank you all so much for being here with us this morning. You guys, you're awesome. And we love you all so, so much. If this is your first time checking out LifePoint Church, man, thank you for watching. Thanks for hanging in there with us this long. And if you want more information or you have questions, you can drop it in the comment box right now, or you can send me a direct message or an email. You can find my email address on our website. But either way, if you want more information, you know, hit us up. Or if you want to know more about having a connected relationship with Jesus, if you want to give your life to him and serve him, man, all scripture says is that we have to confess and believe, right? Believe that God rose from the grave and confess that you have flaws, you're not perfect, and that you need a savior, and he's it. It's just grace through faith. So if you want more information about that, hit me up. I would love to talk to you about that. We can do a Zoom meeting, and that would be awesome. Finally, if you call LifePoint Church home, or you just want to love on us, you can do that through your tithes and your offerings by continuing to give biblically, or maybe starting to give biblically for the first time. Again, for those who are call LifePoint Church home, you can go to our website. The top right-hand corner is an online giving button. You click it. It takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. Man, we just pray that you would consider giving, that you consider being faithful in that way with your tithes and your offerings. And man, we would so appreciate it. We want to continue to move forward. We want to continue to push LifePoint into being exactly what God wants it to be, and to reach the people that God has designed and created us as a church family to reach. And we want to love on people, because I know that now, and then once we come out of this pandemic, man, there's going to be a lot of financial and hurting people, financial needs, hurting people, and we want to be there for them. So we just would thank you for being a part of that on that end. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. And if you know a friend that might need to hear this, tell them they can come check it out on Facebook or YouTube or our website. We love you guys. Hope you have a great, great rest of your day. And we will see you guys next time. Love y'all. You're the source of my hope.